Welcome back to another educational episode of Talkin' Lamar. In this episode, we have dug up some interesting facts about New Year celebrations that you may not know.
What are you talking about?
What are you talking about?
Sorry, I forgot what I was talking about.
What are you talking about?
I am talking to you.
That's just what I was talking about.
It's Talkin' Lamar.
You know, we've just taken down our Christmas trees, hopefully. I did get mine down. Maybe yours is up. You can leave it up. I don't care what you do. But we've had a lot of New Year's celebrations, and we've done it all kinds of different ways all around the world. And I found some interesting things. New Year's Eve in Times Square is probably one of the most celebrated and most watched and very popular New Year's Eve. And
got to be.
After that's over with, there's 50 tons of trash that has to be cleaned up in Times Square after the celebration.
Wow.
50 tons. And about 3,000 pounds of that is confetti. That's a lot of stuff. Now, here's something you might not know. The confetti dropped in Times Square is now holding secret messages. In 2015, they turned the confetti into wishfetti by having thousands and thousands of people's wishes written on them. They can write them or submit them online to the wish wall in Times Square, and they're turned into confetti. So all of those papers, not all of it, but thousands of those little pieces of paper have wishes on them for a new year and for different things. I think that's pretty cool.
I have a wish that I'd like to wish. I wish I'd known.
What would you
wish? I wish Andy Cohen would stop getting drunk on the New Year's celebration toward the end of it with Anderson Cooper.
I depend on that. Are you kidding? That's what's going to happen.
It always does. One year is better than another, but it always happens. All right, back to you, Lamar.
Yeah. If you wonder about some other places, the Brazilians welcome New Year's Eve at the beach. It's considered good luck to make 7 wishes while jumping into 7 waves. Now, that only works if you're at the beach, which guarantees some pretty big parties in the sand if you happen to be in that part of the country or of the world. Now, if you're in Denmark and you hear plates breaking on New Year's Eve, that's considered good luck. The Danes hold a tradition of throwing plates at the front door of family and friends' homes to welcome good fortune for the coming year. They save up their chipped and unwanted cups and dishes all throughout the year. Then they smash them against the front doors of friends on the last night of the year. The more broken dishes you find on your doorstep at midnight, the more popular you are. It's sort of like getting your yard teepeed when you're in high school, you know? If you didn't get your yard rolled, then you weren't very popular.
That one is weird.
Wow. It is weird, but I mean, like I say, these are different countries.
Bob wouldn't like that to keep him up all night.
No,
Stop with the throwing of the dishes.
Stop it. I know you love me. Enough with that. What's the next one?
New Year's Rockin' Eve show is a long-standing tradition. Of course, Dick Clark began hosting the show in 1974. In December of 2004, he suffered the stroke, and Regis Philbin stepped in at the last minute to host. And then in 2005, Clark officially handed the hosting duties over to Ryan Seacrest, but he continued to, you know, make some appearances for the next few years. This is something that makes me feel better. Most New Year's Eve resolutions aren't taken that seriously. 80% of resolutions made at the beginning of the year are forgotten by February. So don't be too hard on yourself, because if you don't follow through, no big deal. Maybe you don't get too aggressive. Don't do stuff like, I'm going to the gym 3 times a week, or I'm giving up sugar totally, or I'm going to read 5 best-selling books this year. Maybe start small, like I'm going to stop swallowing gum.
Is that a big problem?
I'm just saying, start small. I will leave the toilet seat completely closed, because that's fair to everybody. And I will take a 5-minute break from my phone at least once a week. Good luck to everyone.
That's the most important one. That's the most important one right there. If I can ask a question during Talking Lamar. Max, you gave up sugar.
Yes.
How difficult has that been? Can you tell us coming up in a moment?
Okay. I will.
All right. All right, we'll come back with Talking Lamar and Max's amazing accomplishment, giving up sugar totally. It's Talking Lamar with Bob and Sherry.
We are so excited about Bob and Sherry Premium. Well-marbled, juicy, and always fresh with loads of behind-the-scenes photos and videos, exclusive content, including our classic chat room calls and our best-of CDs. And best of all, it's just $4.99 a month. BobandSherry.com/premium.
Welcome back to Talking Lamar and Max. Tell us about going without sugar.
So I'm going to add this to it, and that is I do cheat every once in a while, like birthday cake. I did it Christmas, sort of thing. But it's like anything. If you start doing it, you get used to it, and it becomes habit, and then you don't miss it.
Okay, I'm not going to have any more Häagen-Dazs ice cream at night. Okay, I'm not going to buy one of those little cups. Which I haven't. I've cut them out. I can see that, but there's sugar everywhere. How have you been able to, keep your eye on a sandwich if you're out and maybe loaded?
Don't eat a sandwich. Don't eat a sandwich. The bread's got sugar in it.
Yep.
Oh wow. Yeah.
It's inescapable. You're going to get a little bit of sugar in some cooked food. That's inescapable.
You become a label reader, is what you do. And you just look and see what's in the labels. And there's going to be a little bit, as you said, there is a little bit in different things. But by and large, no, I don't.
You would not have a turkey sandwich on whole wheat.
I would have turkey.
No.
But I would not have turkey sandwich.
Not the bread. Huh. Wow. Have you lost weight? I didn't think needed to. But
Yeah. Oh, yeah.
Wow. Well,
impressive. I just got back from camping down in Jacksonville, and oh my gosh, the food, we just eat meat. Just, oh my gosh, it's like run amok, okay? So about 3 days into the thing, I'm just feeling terrible, and I feel bad the whole week. And I'm not talking about I'm just sitting around. Darby and I, we're walking about 2.5 to 3 miles a day. You know, every day we're walking to campground, we're doing all this stuff, but I just don't feel good. So come New Year's, I said, okay, I'm done. So New Year's Day, I haven't touched any sugar as far as that goes, like any kind of candy, any kind of sweet cake. I've probably not as tight as Max is, but I've really just done nothing. I've eaten no bread or whatever.
Boy, and both of you.
In about 4 days, I started to realize I felt amazing. And I've done this multiple times in my life. Giving up sugar will make you feel better than any one thing I can think of. Is that not right, Matt?
That is true. Absolutely.
Yeah. That's sugars. I love it, but it is the devil. I mean, it really is.
Okay. So tell me this. I'm sorry we're getting sidetracked here. We'll go back to New Year's stuff in just a moment. If I go into a restaurant, like there's a restaurant that I go to for lunch once in a while, and they have a bowl of ramen noodles and a little spinach in it, obviously some broth, and two or three pieces, good-sized pieces of chicken, right? It's a great dish. Is there sugar in that?
Yes. In the noodles.
Yeah. In the noodles.
In the noodles. Okay. Yeah. So no noodles.
No noodles.
No. No pasta.
No pasta.
No pasta.
Oy vey. I don't know.
Yeah. Let me tell you what I do, Bob. When I do this, this is how extreme I get if I do it, and I'm doing it right now. I will eat a hot dog. I will eat a hot dog with chili, mayonnaise, and slaw and onions. Here's how I eat it. I take a bowl. I cut up my weenie. Then I put in some chili, and I put in some coleslaw that's got mayonnaise in it and some onions and stir it up. It tastes just like a chili dog. I just don't have the bun.
Yeah, I can see but
it's not bad. It's really not bad. It's just a lot of trouble. It is a lot of trouble. Is it not a lot of trouble, Matt?
It is. Yeah, you have to adjust some things. But the one thing you do is, no matter where you go, that you can always figure out a way to do it. Yeah, I mean that's the thing that I found. It's not
unless you go to the pizzeria. Unless you go to the pizzeria,
and even then, a lot of them have options where you can do it crustless, and they put stuff in a bowl. There's all kinds of ways.
There's a way around it.
There are all kinds of ways around it.
Yeah, you just got to be intentional.
It's like I go and get burgers, and I just get it with no bun. I get it with lettuce. you know.
Yeah.
Yep.
Yeah.
Five Guys got the best no bun hamburger anywhere. It's tremendous. They wrap it in lettuce and have at it, buddy.
Is that right?
Yeah. Yeah.
Okay.
Yeah. It's really good.
Yeah.
Now I miss bread though, because I love it.
At Five Guys, it costs $28. But you know, that's fine.
Hey, that's fine. I don't care. Don't care what it costs at Five Guys.
All right, back to the New Year's stuff. Back to the New Year's.
All right. Here's something you may not know. The reason January is called January, it's sort of a deep situation. It's been widely reported that the month was actually named for the Roman god Janus, but it's actually rooted in the Latin word, I can't even pronounce it, I-A-N-U-A. It means door. The name was chosen to symbolize the opening of a new door that happens when the new year begins.
Yeah.
We ain't playing around here. We got some serious facts. That's Baby New Year. The new year baby is actually really old. Baby New Year has been a symbol of the holiday since 600 BC, starting in ancient Greece.
Kidding.
Yes. In ancient Greece, an infant was paraded around in a basket in celebration of the god of fertility and wine, and the baby represents a rebirth that occurs at the start of each new year.
Huh. I don't see Baby New Year anymore. I used to see that as
Year coming after the old year, the old man walked out.
It
was kind of weirdly depressing, so I think that had a lot to do with the reason why.
Maybe so.
That's true.
All right. The ball dropping, that's a time ball. Time balls were invented to help sailors. Long before it was used on New Year's Eve, a ball on top of England's Royal Observatory in Greenwich was dropped at 1 p.m. to a certain height every day starting in 1833 to help ship captains coordinate their navigation equipment. Similar balls were set up in coastal areas all around the world. I did not know that.
Ah, so that makes
sense. So let me get this straight. The ball would drop and it would signify tides, or what would it signify?
No. The time of the day, it would drop to a certain level, and that way they would know their times and that kind of stuff. I don't really understand all the mechanics of it, but that's what it did. Yeah. Now, the first Times Square New Year's Eve party was thrown for a newspaper. The annual tradition of gathering in Times Square for New Year's started as a party to celebrate the opening of the New York Times building in 1904. Over 200,000 people showed up and attended.
Wow.
So, yeah.
Thus, Times Square. Yeah. Right.
Yep, exactly. Now, they always had the parties, but there wasn't a ball drop until 1907. Fireworks were always set off to welcome the new year, but they were banned because burning embers were falling on the crowd. And a ball began being lowered on a flagpole because it was safer for everybody. And then it grew from there. But now the ball
has been kill a party faster than your guest being ignited.
Yeah, when your hair's on fire, it's hard to sing "Auld Lang Syne," okay? It really is. Right. Yeah. Now, this has been a spectacle every year since, except for during World War II. Wartime restrictions put the tradition on pause in 1942 and 1943. Times Square revelers observed a moment of silence at midnight instead of dropping the ball. I didn't know that.
Yeah, I didn't either.
Now, I've heard some of these things. The Times Square ball, the weight of that has yo-yoed over the years. The original ball was made from 700 pounds of iron and wood. Then it was later reduced to just 400 pounds of wrought iron before they switched to an aluminum frame in 1955. Now it weighs 11,875 pounds. And the Waterford Company is the one that provides the crystal that goes on it. And Philips Lighting, they joined together to create the LED display that you see now. The sphere is made up of 2,688 crystal triangles, and it has over 32,000 lights in it. It displays over 16 million color patterns.
Wow.
That boggles my mind. That's a lot.
That is.
Now, some other places drop some stuff. Miami, Florida, they ring in the new year with an orange. They have a raising of Mr. Neon, the 35-foot sunglass-clad metal orange, and they've been doing that for 30 years. They raise it up for for New Year's. Mm-hmm. But in Key West, Florida, a drag queen descends in a chute. A female impersonator named Sushi is lowered from a bar rooftop in a giant red high-heel shoe. This has been going on since 1996.
Wow. I didn't know that, really. That's so Key West.
Now, Hershey, Pennsylvania, of course, they drop a giant kiss to ring in the new year. Some other Pennsylvania towns around them, though, like Mechanicsburg, they drop a wrench, hopefully not hitting anybody. In Dillsburg, they drop a pickle because of the deal part.
Oh, yeah.
Now, here's one of my favorites. In Mobile, Alabama, they drop a 600-pound moon pie. And I did a lot of research on this. The moon pie originated in Tennessee. So you're thinking, well, why is Mobile, Alabama using it? Mobile, Alabama is their biggest market for moon pies. They eat more moon pies than anybody else in the United States.
I see and it. So I see it happening.
They just wanted to, so they're doing it, you know?
That's now, great.
Over the holiday that night, Americans drank around 360 million glasses of sparkling wine on New Year's. Corks can fly out of that bottle at 25 miles an hour, so you got to be careful. And it's best to open the bottles at a 45-degree angle. You know, do you ever open up a bottle of champagne and every once in a while it just takes off and goes straight up and hit?
We did it this year. Hampton was in town with his girlfriend, and he wanted to show her his prowess as a man of the world. And he took a bottle of champagne. I don't know how he got this skill, because we don't drink champagne unless Mary brings a bottle in to celebrate something. He took it out in the deck and said, come on, watch, and opened up the foil and popped that cork. That cork probably went, I'd say, 40 yards.
Wow. Easy.
Oh, yeah.
Right, well, out, amazing. Right out of, yeah, right out of the back of our yard. Yeah, he did good.
Yeah. Yeah. No, it is amazing. Now, the New Year's kiss started with the Romans. Although things were a little friskier back then, ancient Romans are credited with the kissing tradition because of their Saturnalia festival. It was a celebration honoring Saturn, the god of time, where all social norms went out the window. And the Romans also were credited with the mistletoe kissing. So them Romans like to do some kissing. They're coming up with an idea to kiss best they can. If you want to know who the first nation is to celebrate New Year, it is the island nation of Kiribati, or Christmas Island. It's in the Central Pacific. They're number one.
I remember that because the year 2000, remember they said the world's coming apart. I remember they tracked it, that was the first place that was celebrating New Year's, and was how are things going on the island?
And it was okay.
Well, there was a song. Jimmy Buffett did it, a bunch of other artists, that was out in the, I think it started in the 1940s, and Buffett included it in his stuff. Would you like to have Christmas on Christmas Island.
So that's that. Now, American Samoa is one of the last places to ring in the new year. American Samoa is actually the second to last place to celebrate the year behind Baker and Howland Island. They're both uninhabited. Some tourists take advantage of the time difference by flying to, now you got to have money to waste and whatever, flying from Samoa to American Samoa, and they get to celebrate twice. Seems to be a lot of trouble.
That's I won the $2 billion lottery kind of money.
Yeah, that is.
Yeah,
that's I'm a hedge fund guy in New York. Yeah, you're right.
If you live in Italy, wearing red underwear is considered lucky for New Year's Eve. It'll bring good fortune in the coming year. Grapes are also supposed to be lucky. Spanish households carry on the tradition of scarfing down 12 grapes in the first 12 seconds of the new year. The grapes represent each month of the year. Rumor has it that the whole thing started as a marketing tactic for winemakers looking to sell more grapes in the winter. Little known fact, this is where the Heimlich maneuver was invented. Get it? Scarfing down grapes.
Oh, okay.
I was
taking it as actual fact.
Yeah,
no, I was like, I was going, well, I ever knew that. I thought it was some guy named Heimlich. But, Sorry.
No, but I'm thinking if everybody's eating 12 grapes in 12 seconds, somebody's choking.
Yeah, you're right. You're exactly right.
Yeah. Now, pork and black-eyed peas. The fattiness of pork symbolizes wealth, and the peas are believed to bring good fortune because they swell when cooked, which is why they're both popular foods to eat on New Year's Eve. I don't know where all that comes from. In the South, we eat pork, black-eyed peas, and collard greens. The pork is good luck, the collard greens bring cash, and the peas bring change. Now, I can't say that I get more money, but I'm afraid not to do it because I don't want to have any less, so I do it every year.
Yeah.
So I can't say whether it works.
We had sauerkraut. My grandmother was from Austria, so we had to have sauerkraut. And then we had those great big link sausages. So, So we had the pork, but they used to make eat that awful sauerkraut, which is...
Do you know anybody that serves sauerkraut now? You do?
Lamar loves it.
I eat it all the time.
You're kidding me. Really?
No. Wow. Sauerkraut and weenies? You don't have sauerkraut and weenies?
Maybe a little bit on a... Well, first of all, I don't call it a weenie. It's a hot dog. Maybe a like at
it's a not a hot dog unless you put it... It's a weenie. There's a weenie that goes in the hot dog.
So it's not a hot dog unless it's actually in the bun, is what you're saying.
Yeah. But this is a bad one for you here, Bob. Stay away from lobster and chicken. Lobster and chicken are both considered bad luck foods. According to superstition, if because of a lobster's ability to move backward and a chicken's ability to scratch itself backwards, if you eat either on New Year's, you won't be able to move forward. You need to be eating bacon. That moves you forward. So lobster, not good.
Forward to the cardiac room at the hospital. Okay.
Now here's one more. In Bolivia, coins are baked into sweets, and whoever doesn't choke to death has good luck for the next year. Okay? The coins are good luck. You're supposed to find them, but I'm pretty sure this is another Heimlich situation.
Whoever doesn't choke to death has good luck. Yeah. I guess the person that choked to death is
They don't tell them there's coins in there? Or does everybody know?
Well, everybody knows, but you know how that goes.
Yeah.
So. That filthy money, they're putting that in food? I'm not so sure about that.
Yeah, well, that's what they're doing. Well, that's going to wrap it up for this episode of Talking Lamar. I hope you have attained more meaningless facts than you had before you came in. Who knows what you might learn from our next episode? And only one way to find out, keep listening. We really appreciate it. And you know me, I hate a quitter. Talk to you next time. Thank you so much for listening to Talking Lamar, the Oddcast, and the Bob and Sherry Podcast. We would really love it if you would subscribe, rate and review, and share it with a friend on Facebook, Instagram, wherever you go. And thank you again for listening.